Heavenly Father, we come by the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins. So clean the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. We are grateful for your mercy. As we go into your word, Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I talk under covenant. Ask for help. Strength in the inner man. Strength in the outer man. Help me to speak as an oracle of God. I receive boldness. I receive grace. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. That the word goes forth this day. Will go forth in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, causing us all to be edified. That same word will cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Father and our God, I also receive grace as we go into the world to redeem the time, that by your mercy and grace, I will not speak today with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in your power. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love and help. We receive your mercy as we go into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Lord, please help me. We've been in this book of Timothy for quite some time now. Like we said earlier on, that is an epistle that Paul the Apostle wrote to his spiritual son, whom he left in the church at Ephesus. And we said that earlier on, that because people started misbehaving in that church, so he left him there for a specific purpose, to make sure that they don't veer off course, because he had to go somewhere. And we're speaking about Paul's apostleship, you know, in verse 1 of the book of 1 Timothy. And also, the last time we spoke extensively about the mercy and the grace of God. I also spoke about the peace of God. Then I introduced us to the issue of false doctrine. So that's where we're going to start from this morning. You know, but I will do a brief recap on the peace of God. Last time we were talking, I spoke about the peace of God, because it's very, very important in these times we are living in. There is so much evil going on around the world. So we need that peace to keep our hearts. You know, the Bible says that God will shake the heavens and the earth, and he will shake the nations also. But he will give us peace where? In this latter house that he's building. And I define peace as this. This is the definition that God gave to me. It says that the peace of God, let's say it together, the peace of God is the fruit of the Spirit that gives us the inner assurance in our hearts that God is in control of a situation, and also acts as an umpire that will have the victory in that situation. Just anytime you pray, what gives you a guarantee that God has answered that prayer is usually his peace. At times you may pray and you may not have a word, but you discover that when you pray, you find that there's so much peace, even though when those situations and circumstances have not changed in the physical. And we quoted from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. We don't have time there because of time. And in the Amplified Bible, and he used the word garrison. You see, when to garrison something is like, as we are here now, we have soldiers surrounding this place to protect it. He said that the peace of God will mount garrison round about your heart. Why? Because he will not allow that force of the enemy from the air to bring about trouble or agitation. He also looked at it from the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he used the word umpire. Yeah, an umpire is somebody that determines who has won a match, so to speak. So that peace of God acts as an umpire when you've prayed. And you will get up from that place of prayer. Say, I have so much peace that God has answered my prayer. It says that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep what? Your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that is very important. You see, what we are saying again is, for that peace we are talking about, you can only get it in the place of prayer. If you don't pray, you can't have that peace. From experience. Now, the scripture in the book of Psalms, I think Psalm 72, verse 3 or so, it says that the mountains shall bring forth peace to the people. If you don't spend quality time in prayer, especially in these times we are living in, you cannot have that peace because of all the things that are happening around us. But God wants us to have that peace. I remember some time ago, many years ago, I had some challenges I was facing. I was praying. I woke up in the middle of the night and I started praying. I was praying, traveling, doing everything I could do. So after I finished praying, a song came to my heart. So I started singing that song. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said something. It will sound strange to you, but I'll explain with scripture. He said that, may your soul rest in perfect peace. Let's say it together. May your soul rest in perfect peace. It's like, God, do you want to kill me?
Then I told the Lord, it was clear. I knew it was God speaking to me, you know. So I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? Give me scripture. Then he took me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. Let's open our Bible to Isaiah 26, 20. Yes, let me together. Thou will what? Keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. May your soul rest in perfect peace. Your mind is in your soul. So you see, when you say rest in perfect peace, it's not for somebody that has died. If you don't have this peace on this side, you will not have it over there. Are you following me? So that will keep me. One of these, I'll probably make a t-shirt and I'll put RIP on it. Yes, because you see, each day you pray, that is the whole essence of when we wake up in the morning, doing four touch praying, and we go out. So you can have peace in the midst of a turmoil around you. Lord Jesus Christ, when I was going to get someone, he said something. He said that, my soul is troubled. After you prayed for 3 hours, you stood up and said, let's go. We need that peace in this day. And God has promised us that will give us that peace. We have mentioned Isaiah also. Don't turn to Isaiah 55 verse 12. He said, you shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth singing. So each day you wake up in the morning and you pray, you must have that peace. It is that peace that will lead you. So as you are going this way, somebody says, no, don't go to them, turn this way. Are you following me? So thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. So turn to your neighbor and say, may your soul rest in perfect peace. Say it. Say it. May your soul rest in perfect peace. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to our scripture for today. Let's try doing for the book of 1 Timothy. I've shown you scripture for it, so don't be afraid. You're not dying. Nobody's dying. Praise the Lord. That's what it means, really. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start reading from verse 2 because of time. And unto Timothy, my son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. This is what I want to read to you. Let's go. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into where? Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Next verse. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Next verse. Help me, Lord. Now, the end of the commandment is what? Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Let's stop there for today because of time. Verse 3. Paul was telling Timothy, he said, I besought you. I beg you, please stay here in Ephesus. Why? He gave him a charge. A charge is a commandment, an admonition to warn people. Because I give you charge that they teach no other doctrine. What does that mean? That means that there are more than one doctrines in the body of Christ, right or wrong. You can see from that scripture. It says that I give you charge that you charge them that they should do what? Some teach, they should not teach any other doctrine. So what that tells us is that there's a particular doctrine that Paul must have taught them. So he didn't want them to veer off that particular doctrine. And I mentioned last time we were talking that the scriptures reveal to us that three basic doctrines in the Bible. There are three. You can divide them or categorize them to three. What the Bible talks about, doctrine according to godliness. Let's say it together. Doctrine according to godliness. Bible also talks about doctrines of men. Let's say together, doctrines of men. And the Bible talks about the doctrines of devils. There is doctrine according to godliness. There is doctrine that devils teach. And also doctrines of men. There's a link between it. You see, for God to teach people his doctrine, he must do it through men. For Satan also to teach people his own doctrine, he must do it through men. So you see, man's doctrine takes its source from either God or the devil. Let's put scriptures behind this. Doctrine according to godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let's regard it. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to what? The doctrine which is according to godliness. There's a doctrine that will make you like God at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. Then we have the doctrines of men. The book of Colossians chapter 2. No, verses 20 to 23. Let's just look at 23. Just to, yeah, 23. I said, okay, it's okay, fine. Let's go that. Which all are to do what? Perish with the using after the commandment and the doctrines of men. There are doctrines of men. Doctrines that people in church, leadership, they wake up one day and they will decide to start teaching things that are, do not take their source from God's doctrine. I also have doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's just go put it amplified for me because of time. Lord, please help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we there? Amplify. Yeah, it says, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the what? Latter times, some will what? Turn away from the faith, giving what? Attention to deludings and seducing spirits and what? Doctrines that demons teach. But I've not seen a demon stand on the pulpit and begin to teach before. Are you following me? But see, there are demons that teach them. In the same way that the Holy Spirit will come upon somebody and he will start speaking. The Bible says in the book of Mark says that when you stand before kings, I will give you what to say. That's where we find a lot of problem in the church. There are people that are teaching doctrines of devils. And in summary, because I don't want us to waste time this morning, you see, that's what happened when Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees. They had this argument about washing hands and not washing hands. And he told them, he said, you are teaching for commandments the doctrines of men. Matthew 15 verse 9. He said, you people, they came to him, they said, why don't your disciples obey the commandment and tradition of the fathers? He said, they don't wash hands and all that. Jesus Christ looked at him and said, he said, you people, you are teaching commandments of men, and you make them doctrines. And what that thing does is it makes the word of God of none effect. You see, when you start teaching things that don't have their source in the word, it becomes a doctrine of man that takes its root from Satan, and it keeps the people who are in bondage. Praise the Lord. So that is what happens. And you see, these doctrines of men we are talking about, it has three basic functions. You can put it down. Number one, it hinders growth. See, when man starts teaching you his own doctrine that is not the God doctrine according to godliness, it will hinder your growth. That is the problem we have with the church today. Majority of the church worldwide have not grown at all because men are teaching their own doctrines. Instead of feeding them with the word of God that will make them grow, they are feeding them things like don't tie scarf. You know all those funny things that we hear about. You know, this is the way you must dress. I'm not against dressing well. But these are doctrines of men. If they start as things that are legalistic things, then after some time, the devil comes and actually takes control. Starts selling anointing oil. That if you don't do this, this will happen to you. Are you following me? Then the second thing it does is it causes God's people to be carried to and fro. We can see that book of Ephesians. You want to turn there? You can put it on the board. Ephesians chapter 4. He said that we should not be tossed to and fro by every wind of what? Doctrine. You see, if you are fed the wrong information, you'll find out that you are not going to be able, you won't be able to grow. And then you are being tossed to and fro. The Bible uses the word wind and rain to describe doctrine. So that is what is happening in most churches that we have in the world today. They are not teaching the people the word of God. They are giving them doctrines after the commandments of men. So the people cannot grow. And the third thing it does, those doctrines of men, is that when it tosses to and fro, at the end of the day, such people cannot receive their inheritance in Christ. Because the inheritance we are talking about is the spirit that measure. So if you don't get the right doctrine, the doctrine according to godliness, God will never give you the spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. And most of these doctrines of men, they come into being because of covetousness. That is the root. You see, because those that are teaching those false doctrines, they merchandise the gospel. They tweak the scriptures. The Bible says that they omit the weightier matters of law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. And they overemphasize prosperity. A good example in the Bible is Balaam. You see, when they came to call Balaam to curse Israel, mind you, Balaam was a very great prophet. I thought it wasn't just all the, it's not like these white garments prophets that you see, because he was actually ordained by God. But because when they started offering him money and things like that, he changed his message. Are you following me? And because the Bible says, let's just read in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. You see, it changed the gospel because of what it will get. Like I said, it takes its root from covetousness. You see, it says that which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved what the wages of unrighteousness. That is the root. And if you go to the book of Revelations, when the Lord Christ was talking one of the churches, you know, in the book of Revelations, he said that the doctrines of Balaam and the Lochonites that I hate. You see, we are not supposed to hate those people. We must hate their doctrine. God does not hate them. He loves them because God is love, but does not like their doctrine. He said the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. So we need to hate that doctrine. It's not something that we play with. Or you listen to all these funny tapes that we're talking about, how if you give so and so, and then God will do this for you, or if you get this handkerchief, you tie it around, all this funny stuff. I don't want to go there because it's not important. So you see, we don't have to listen to people that preach those doctrines. Praise the Lord. And then the other aspect is, let us look at these doctrines of devils. It is man that will preach the doctrine of the devil. But you see, how does this occur? Those that, you know, we have four hierarchies of evil spirits. Those that actually plan this thing are the wicked spirits in the heavenly places. They are not the small demons that give people headache. We are talking about the wicked spirits. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. You see, they are the ones that design this thing. And when they do it, they also back it with power. That's why people are deceived. Somebody comes here today and says something that is contrary to scripture. Ordinarily, you will know. But when you are backed with power, if you are not standing, you'll be tossed to and fro. Actually, did you come to church that day? You know, a man said something. He said that we should all, I don't want to say anything funny. You know, maybe everybody that wants 50,000 should stand here. Those that want this. And everybody will do it. And then maybe you that he didn't do it. God forbid you should go to those kind of churches. You go away. Nothing happens. And then they go away. And then somebody comes and God says, I should bless you and give you this 50,000. You know, if you are not careful, you that you are standing, trying to go after the God, doctrine of godliness, you start believing that. But sometime when he said that thing, it came to pass. So it's not a question whether it comes to pass or not. It is there are demons, wicked spirits that are behind it. And they back it with power. Are you following me? That's why it says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, let us read 2 and read verses 7, 9, and 10, just to buttress my point. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7, 9, and 10. Are we there? 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, 9, and 10. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 9. Even what? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all what? Power and what? Signs and lying wonders. Let us say that there are signs and lying wonders with power to deceive people. Verse 10. What does verse 10 say? And with all what? Deceivableness. God have mercy on my English. Of unrighteousness in them that do what? Perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, that is the problem. I'll mention something and I'll move on. Once you don't love the truth, you have positioned yourself to be deceived. Some days ago, I was on my bed about to sleep and I just said, Lord, how come I just started talking to God? What I see in the body of Christ, this one has done this, this man of God has done this, so and so. And I asked God, I said, Lord, why? Great men of God that have preached the same perfection message. And Lord just spoke to me. He said something. He said, walk in the light while you have the light. Let darkness come upon you. You see, there was a time that pastor brought, not just here, this message of perfection people, and they took this prayer thing around the whole of Nigeria. When that light came, most people did not walk in it. So darkness came. That's why, you know, you see, anytime God reveals something to you, my dear brother, please start walking in it immediately. It doesn't matter if you stumble, get up and start doing. Because if you don't do it, after some time, darkness will come. And when darkness comes, you don't see again. You start stumbling at the word. Then you'll be deceived by this foul, wicked spirit in emphasis. Praise the Lord. All right. So one of these doctrines of devils, I'll just mention it, because the book of Timothy talks about it, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, it talks about forbidding to marry. It doesn't sound like it's happening in the church, but it's happening. Lord help me today. What we call cohabiting. That it's not important for you. The devil is not going to come and say,
God says, he forbids you to marry. No. It's cohabitation. You see Christians today, born again, living together, and they are not married.
It's a doctrine of the devil, and the pastor will say it does not matter. That's what the Bible says. If you read that scripture, I don't have time to turn there. Abstaining from all kinds of meats. I didn't write it though. If you go there because of time, that's what the Bible says. I follow me. Cohabitation is a doctrine. If anybody teaches it, or they may not teach it, but they frown at it, it's Satan that is behind it. If they permit it, excuse me. It's the doctrine of the devil. It is Satan that is behind it. And his main purpose is to erode the family unit. So the family unit, that's the problem they have now overseas. I don't want to go there because of time. We are told that the Muslims that are there now, they are getting married, having more children. They are not having all this abortion, whatever. There are things, you see, what I'm saying, it's not, if it's a problem with the world, it doesn't matter. But it is being permitted in the church. So it is Satan that is behind it, praise the Lord. So they teach strange doctrines, you know. These strange doctrines are taught by leaders in the church that are pastors, so-called evangelists, and whatever they call themselves. They omit the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, praise the Lord. Bible talks about in Psalm 144, now from there, says that, rid me of strange children. God is going to rid himself of strange children if they don't rid themselves of these stupid and foolish attitudes. Praise the Lord. Now, where I want to get to, that's what I'm trying to rush this morning, is I want us to talk about the doctrine according to godliness. Let's say together, doctrine according to godliness. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. God himself defines what doctrine is. Are we there? Let's together. Give ear, O heavens. And I, Moses, no, please give me the KJV. Give air, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Next verse. Let's look at that. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As what? The small rain upon the tender herb and as showers upon the grass. But you can see here that God is using rain to describe doctrine, and he says that my teaching, as we've been taught, you see, the Bible talks about the former rain and what the latter rain. Book of Joel, he said, "Be glad, ye children of Zion, for the God has given you the former rain more, but shall give cause to come down to you the former and the latter rain in the first month." So, what are we saying? Doctrine in the Bible speaks about teaching. Are you following me? That is what God is trying to tell us here. Anytime you read something about rain in the Bible, as God has promised us that he's going to give us the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. What are we saying, Pastor Abraham? This is what God is trying to tell us today. That you see, in natural Israel, they had two kinds of rain. They had the early rain and the latter rain. Let's look at the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain is the sowing rain. When they want to start planting, God will give them the sowing rain moderately, so they can plant. Now, when I'm talking like that, remember we talk about the power of the sower. So when you get born again, that word enters your hand. That is the early rain. Then the latter rain is the rain that brings in the harvest. Are you following me? In natural Israel, it comes around September, around the Feast of Tabernacles. So they can now bring in the harvest. We need both. You see, you cannot have the early rain and go to bed. You need the latter rain. Because the essence of a farmer that plants is so that he can reap his harvest. So the Bible says that God himself is waiting patiently for the what? Precious fruit of earth. So God has given us the former rain moderately. And is now he wants to give us the former rain and the latter rain when? In the first month. As I was thinking about this, it's similar to using types and shadows, David and Solomon. David prepared the ground for Solomon. You see, if you had David and you did not have Solomon, there will not be anything. It was Solomon that built the temple. But see, David was an essential part. It was the foundation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He let us therefore go unto what? Perfection. Not laying again. What? Are we there? Let's look at it. Therefore, living the principles of what? The doctrine of Christ. Let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. It starts mentioning them. This doctrine are talking about the early rain. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Next verse. Next verse, please. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This is where the majority of the church has come today. But I said that let us go on to perfection. It is the latter rain that will bring perfection. It is the doctrine that will, the prophetic doctrine that will give us the how of the how that will make us perfect. Or that will bring in the end time harvest that we are talking about. Praise the Lord. So, and for you to understand this doctrine, it's not for babes in Christ. It's not that big. God doesn't want babes to understand this doctrine that we're talking about, the doctrine that will make you perfect in Christ. I from the latter rain doctrine. It is not so, but you see, it is for you must have been weaned from these elementary things. Can you imagine getting born again and camping on that mountain or getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? Like we said some time ago, the end of our faith is salvation of our souls. So if getting born again is the goal, like some churches believe in or people, Christians believe in, then why didn't God just take them to heaven and they got born again? Why? That's the problem we have in the church. But you see, the end of our faith is salvation of our soul, and it is this doctrine of Christ that we, after we're establishing it, that rain, that latter rain, is what will bring us into that perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. Let's just open our Bibles to, no, don't let's open them because of time. Isaiah 28. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Isaiah 28 verse 9 onwards. It says, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It says that them that are what? Weaned from the milk. You see, if you're a spiritual babe in Christ, some of this, when you start talking about them, you start wondering that, this is a strange thing. Why can't they be using doctrine and rain and all that? That means you're a spiritual babe. But God wants us to grow up. Are you following me? So that we can, he can teach us, give us an understanding of this doctrine, because that is our destiny in Christ. Praise the Lord. So whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand this doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk of the word of God. But see, what Satan does is this. He does not want the church to be weaned from milk. So he backs up these funny preachers and they keep on preaching this. They camp around the elementary principle of doctrine of Christ. And then after some time, when they go into error, he starts backing that error with power. Are you following me? So the people are deceived. And that is what the Bible calls the Antichrist spirit. It comes in the name of Christ, but against what? The purpose of Christ. That is the, you see, Satan does not mind if you have 1,000 houses. Go and ask from Solomon. You have 1,000 wives. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind if you camp around using the blood all the time. The blood. He doesn't mind. But as long as you don't leave that place and move on to perfection, God, what I'm trying to say, God is not happy with that, or he's not pleased with that situation. He wants it to change. But you see, that's what the Antichrist spirit does. It comes in the name of Christ, it's a church, but against the purpose of Christ. Praise the Lord. And how do they do it? They do it by default. I mentioned earlier on, they omit the weightier matters of law. The golden calf ministry. They will not teach the people what they should, will make them grow. Because once they grow, the people will not go to that church again. So you have to keep on coming back to the man of God to lay hands on you, to pray for you, and then to keep on feeding the man of God. Are you following me? That's what they do. They don't want people to grow. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to understand that doctrine. There's a scripture I would like us to read, the book of 2 John chapter 1. Talking about this doctrine and what God expects us to do. God does not take it lightly. Are we there? 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter anyway, about 7. Are we there? Talking about doctrine now. Let's read that. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You see, you can, the manifold wisdom of God, you can see this, that Jesus Christ came, you know, as a baby in Bethlehem. What's talking about is anybody that says that it is not possible to become conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says what? This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, please, you may have family members that say it is not possible. We are not saying that they are antichrist, but that antichrist spirit is operating through them. It's somebody that comes to you and says, you believe in perfection. This is not possible. What he's saying is that it is not possible for Christ to come in your flesh. The Bible says, and the word was made manifest, and we beheld his glory. And this is what God expects to happen in this end time. This is all what perfection is all about. So Bible is saying to us that if somebody comes with this
kind of doctrine that it's not possible for Jesus Christ to come in your flesh, or that it can be born perfect. Or maybe after you did something wrong, and the enemy comes to you and starts saying, you say you are going to be perfect. It's not possible now. You woke up at 4 a.m., you are trying to pray, you fell asleep, and you woke up at 7 a.m. It's not possible. That's an antichrist spirit. I'm not saying you are possessed with the spirit, but it's that spirit that is operating in the air, trying to discourage you or me and say it is not possible. You've been hearing this message for how many years now? 20 years, 50 years. Nothing has happened. Those that are preaching, they have left the church. It's an antichrist spirit. Next verse. Help me, Holy Spirit. Look to yourself that will lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we may receive a full reward. Follow the context of which he's talking. You see, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is come or can come in your flesh, you cannot receive a full reward. And what is that reward? It's the reward of our inheritance, the spirit without measure. Are we following me? So keep it in context. Next verse. Whosoever transgresses abided not in the doctrine of Christ, which is Christ coming in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are we following me? He abided not in the doctrine of Christ. He had not both the Father and the Son. Praise the Lord. So we need to be very careful in this end time. That is what Satan is trying to do. Through people that don't believe that perfection is possible. Now, you ask this question, Pastor, I don't want to be deceived. What should I do so I'll not be deceived? Or if you're still wavering, like, is this thing going to ever happen? You see, God gave me 3 points and I will mention it briefly and I will go on. God does not want us to be deceived by these lying wonders that we can see all over around us. The first thing you do, you have to judge it by the Spirit. And when you judge by the fruit, you judge it by the fruit of good treasure. That's when they start talking, you listen to what they are saying, and you listen to the good the word that comes out of their heart. Says, by their fruit you shall know them. It's not only talking about character, it's also talking about the word that they bring forth. Like here by the grace of God, when you see Pastor Mommy, when they open the same scriptures to us and they begin to teach you, I wonder, wow, this thing I've read it before, but how come I never saw it this way? If they begin to bring out gems from the scriptures, we need to judge whatever you hear by the fruit of the word. Praise the Lord. The second thing, you now need to set your will to do the will of God. You see, before God starts revealing these things to you, after he has weaned you, you must have first of all made up your mind to do it. Because if you don't determine to do it, God will not show you. The Bible says, why will you cast your pearls before swine? So you must determine your heart to do it. That was just cast was in the book of John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. It says that my doctrine is not mine. But if any man will do his will, then shall he know whether this doctrine is of me or not of the Father. Praise the Lord. And can put it on the board. Yeah. It says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but is that what sent me. Next verse. Let's read together. If any man will do his will. So you must determine to do his will before you can know it. He shall know if the doctrine of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to know. But for us to know, we must first judge it by the fruit of good treasure. Then secondly, we must also determine our hearts to do it. That is, end time pastor comes and he says something like, okay, I'm giving you instructions, take so and so confessions 3 times a day. You must have determined your heart to do it. When you now start doing it, then you now start seeing it. Let me give a simple example. God help me because of time. There was a time pastor used to teach, he's not done for quite some time. When he's talking about prayer, he would say that the first supplication is for you, then the second supplication is for those two my hands has become. He never gave the scripture to me. And I didn't doubt it. I just said, well, they said we should do it. Let me just keep on doing it. Many years after I was in prayer and I was praying, and Lord spoke to me and said, how do you know that the first supplication is for you? And the second one is for those whom the answers will come. I said, I don't know. And he spoke to me. He said, first of all, remove the beam that is in your eye, that you now see clearly, to remove the mote, second supplication, in your brother's eye. The eye there being the eye of your understanding. Some of these things, that's why Satan opposes it. But if you are not honest enough and don't determine to do it, if I had stopped after the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, about my 7th year, before God showed me that scripture. And when that is revealed to you, I become established. Praise the Lord. So we need to do those things. And then the last thing that we need to do is that we need to be in unity under covering. You see, you cannot understand this doctrine if you are not under the right doctrine, teaching or leadership covering.
And the only way you are going to understand it is you are walking in unity. So that's what we now come back and say, how good and how present is for blessing together, dwell together in unity. God will command the blessing of life eternal, which will enlighten your darkness. So you start understanding the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's now go to verse 4, or book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. Are we there? Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which may start questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Bible says we should not give heed to fables, endless genealogies that minister questions. What is a fable or a myth? The dictionary says that a fable is a traditional story accepted as history. And it's been passed down from generation to generation. We have many of them in the body of Christ today. And what endless genealogies. Oh, this one gave birth to this, this one gave birth to this, and then by the time they start trying to trace your family tree, you are confused. You see, in those days, my mom would say, when relatives come, she would say, ah, cousin, can you come here? I said, this one, no, my little B, this one gave birth to this one. By the time she starts saying, after some time, I become very confused. You see, those things cannot establish you. There are genealogies that are according to the scripture. We have them in the Bible. You can trace the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But see, in those days in Ephesus, they started going, okay, what is they start trying to trace their family history, this one. So instead of focusing on the most important thing, which is going on unto Christ, or that doctrine, they were distracted with all these funny so-called doctrines. Bible says that it does not bring about godly edifying. That, what does that edify? What does the word mean to edify? It means to build up. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. God wants his people to be built up. But if you build your faith on endless genealogies and fables, are you following me? You cannot be built up. But God wants his people to be built up. Are you following me? There are also good traditions and bad traditions. We have traditions that we keep in this church. It's a tradition. Even coming to pray on Tuesday for Nigeria is like a tradition amongst us. But that's a good tradition. It has its basis in the scripture. The Bible says that we should pray for kings and rulers in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. Praise the Lord. So we have good traditions, but there are also bad traditions. Mark 7:13. He says that you make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. When he was talking about giving tithes and offering, I don't want to say, look, you are supposed to give your dad and your mom tithes and offering to honor them. Maybe if you don't give them, I bring it to the church and give this so-called pastor. Are you following me? God has ticked it right. Jesus Christ said, fools. So you make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Anything that you do that renders the word of God inoperative is a bad tradition. Praise the Lord. So every tradition must be based on the word of God. And basically what these things do, these bad traditions and fables and myths, is that they breed doubt and unbelief. When listening to somebody preach, and you go away and you are down. Remember that word I mentioned, edify. Say, don't minister godly edifying which is in faith. That means you are down. You don't understand again. Somebody comes and says, if you do this, go and borrow money. Doesn't matter. Go and borrow that money now. Don't turn away from that television. You that you're looking at me. Go and get so-and-so money and give it to me. You know, it happens all the time. Like I said, by men of God that have preached great miracles like Balaam. They said, don't, auto-suggestion, don't turn on that TV. Oh yeah, go right now. And then you see people stand up and like sheep being led to the slaughter. They go and borrow money that they don't have. Use their credit card, and then give the man of God money, and they end up not getting anything. Are you following me? But you see, how will you judge? It's very simple to judge. You judge by the content, love. Because it is love that edifies. I would say, knowledge perfect up, but what? Charity edified. If you are not edified by a message, or built up, that means that thing is bordering along traditions or fables. Somebody one time was talking about the service he went for, and he said that the man of God preached one heavy message. I said, so what did he do? He said he was talking about a place he went to, and somebody threw the Bible in the air, and the Bible hung in the air. So, what has that got to the kingdom of God? Magicians do that now. Are you following me? So, but you see, people go away with that kind of story and they keep on shouting around, going for this. They will wander from place to place, being tossed to and fro. So, we'll go to that man of God again. Before they come, the man of God has another story. I don't want to say some things that are funny. Are you following me? So, how then are we, does God wants us to be built up, like I said? How are we built up? By three main areas. The Bible talks about the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 22. It says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It is an essential key. They are the ones that dispense, most importantly, this latter thing we are talking about. Are you following me? We need that in the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself sent something. He said that flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said that on this rock will I do what? Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not talking about the physical rock. Rock that stands for revelation knowledge. If you don't have revelation knowledge, you're not under the right covering, you can't be built up. Then the last area in which you are built up is through prayer. Jude 20 says that building up yourself in your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So that's how we are built up. Now let's read verse 5 as we continue, as I introduce verse 5 to us. Praise the Lord. What does he say? Say, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The end of the commandment. If we are in a race, there will be an end. If we enter university, there will be an end. Bible says that God is the Alpha and the Omega. What is the end of the commandment? Pray in the morning, bind the devil. Is what? Love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. What that tells you is there is no problem with the love of God. The Bible says that the love of God has done what? Has been shed abroad in our hearts. If you rightly divide the word of God, the heart is talking about there is your spirit when you go born again. Book of Romans. So the problem is the impurities in the heart. So you see, when you want to do something in love, as that love is coming out, it passes through your soul. Then it picks impurities in your soul. So Paul is telling us here that, look, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. Let me give you an example. They're looking at me like, I don't know what I'm saying. God speaks to you and says that, I want you to be serving Pastor Luby Johnson. And I say, ah, that is true. You heard the word, it's clear. Then as you now begin to ponder on it, that thought now comes to you and say, maybe they will make me assistant pastor. It has picked up an impurity. It sounds funny, but that's how it operates. You see, that's why the Bible says, you say, don't despise prophesying. He said, hold fast to what? That which is good. That is, each time in this process of growing to become like Jesus Christ, love must come out of our heart from a pure heart. That is the whole essence of our Christianity after we get born again. You now start flushing out those impurities from your soul, you know, from your will, your mind, or your emotions, so that when that love begins to come out, it does not pick your own agenda. And the only way you can do it is through deep intercession, but deep call it unto deep at the noise of their water. If you don't keep praying and walking in the Spirit, even though God tells you something, at the end of the day, you will pick up impurities and you will taint the word of God and you will teach that, and you will be sending around what benefit you are going to get. So it must come out of a pure heart and of faith unfeigned. So what is love? Divine love is designing, like Pastor taught us, designing and also doing what God will do in every situation. Let's say it together. Divine love is designing, desiring and also doing what God will do in every situation. And it has three components. It has divine wisdom, divine compassion, and divine power. It is that wisdom that pulls the other along. Let me give you a simple example so we can understand what I'm saying. You wake up in the morning and you hear that maybe your friend is not feeling well. Instantly you want to go and visit the person without praying. You see, compassion must follow wisdom. That is what happened when Jesus Christ was told that his friend Lazarus was sick. So instead of getting up and rushing there, divine wisdom said, hold on. So he stayed back for 4 days. So after generating the power, compassion now took him. There was moved with compassion. And next thing, the power was manifested and he raised Lazarus. If he had gone there
based on his emotions and did not yield to the wisdom of God by staying back to get the sufficient power to go and raise him up, nothing would have happened. Praise the Lord. So you see, it's very important for us. I'll just introduce us to this and then we'll pick it up in our next lesson. For us to take it to what we hear in terms of the doctrine that we hear. God does not want us to be deceived. It's very, very important. He doesn't want us to be deceived. And it's very, very easy to be deceived. Like I said later on, we need to stay under the right covering as babes. It's when we stay under the right covering as babes, then we can now grow. That covering now shields us and protects us till we come unto knowledge of the truth so that we are not deceived. Praise the Lord. I think that's where we'll end today. Let's bow down to prayer. Lord Jesus. Let's talk to the Lord in our hearts and let's tell him. Let's correct ourselves where we are not being listening or obeying instructions of this doctrine unto godliness that will make us like him. And let us determine in our heart, if you don't have that revelation knowledge, it's because in your heart probably you have not made up your mind to do it. And it's important for us to stay in unity under covering. That was why the man that was Elisha, when he said, "Alas, my master, they are around us," he said something. He said, "Lord, open his eyes. If that man, or was it Gehazi, he wasn't under Elisha's covering, would not have seen anything." Praise the Lord. After 2 days, please. Let's stand to our feet as we pray.
After 2 days, he will revive us in this day. He raises us after 2 days.
After 2 days, there's all his.
Let's put one hand on our hearts and raise the other hand to God in faith. The Bible says that let all men lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Let's say after me. Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the end of my faith, which is love, agape, out of a pure heart. I also understand that I need to receive your doctrine as the former and latter rain, in order for me to attain unto the expected end that you have for me. I receive mercy, I receive grace, to allow me to judge by the fruit and not by signs and wonders. And also I determine to always set my will to do your will. And in particular, in these times we are living in, I determine to stay in unity under covering. I receive your mercy, I receive your grace, to enable me as I stay in unity to understand this doctrine, that I receive the fullness of my inheritance in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.